Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
It was a wonderful birthday present for Hillary Clinton to confirm Amy Comey Barrett to the Supreme Court.
This is the great journalistic malpractice of our time.
You sold out the United States of America.
We are a country of hope.
I feel very confident that Joe Biden will be elected president.
It's unconscionable.
What's unconscionable is the way that Nancy Pelosi said that. And welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It was very interesting the way she couched that yesterday.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen on Election Day, but I do know that eventually Joe Biden will be elected president.
Once we tally all the votes we're generating around the country by hook or by crook, Joe Biden will be the president of the United States.
She did straight up say, one way or another, Joe Biden will be president.
That's what she said.
Sounded like a threat to me. Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome in and happy Friday. So glad that you're with us this morning live on the Facebook page. You can follow us there on radio.com if you want to. We've got everything up there for you. I've already got my impeach Joe Biden bumper sticker ready just in case.
Just in case.
My friend Vance down in Fenton sent this to me. He said, I had some of these printed up just in case, because of course, the Democrats were trying to impeach Trump before he ever took office last time around. So, you know, just in case. And once Trump wins, maybe I'll put that on my bumper anyway, just for fun, just to taunt the snowflakes that have melted down all over the place.
I think they'll think that you don't know who won the election.
Yeah, you'll get pulled over because they're not sure you should be operating
right.
a vehicle.
Do you know who the president of the United States is?
My experience with St. Louisans has been great through all of this because I've got a Trump sticker on the back of my car. Mm-hmm. I've got one of the window flags, the things that you stick on the top of your window and roll it up, and then it flaps in the wind while you're driving along and says Trump on it. I get lots of thumbs up for it.
You don't have that sticker with the president where it looks like he's actually sitting in your like passenger side.
Oh, I wish. Wouldn't that be great?
I've seen a couple of those. It's hilarious.
That. It's like a window decal, mm-hmm. and it looks like
and it
Trump's
looks like
riding
he's giving
with you.
Like he's, the last one I saw, it's like he's looking at the window and he's got his, you know, the thumbs up sign. It's awesome.
Yesterday, it's probably on my Twitter feed, but somebody tweeted me the best Halloween costume yet. It's a Joe Biden head that sits on this side of your shoulder that looks like it's sniffing your hair, and the arm wraps around the other side and hooks over your like breast on the other side. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
Ew.
Your chest, like it comes down and hangs. It's pretty funny. I asked her, I said, where can I find one of these? And she just gave me a like on it. And she didn't tell me where she found it. So I don't know if Johnny Brox is carrying those or not. But that would be a great Halloween costume in case you're looking for something at the last minute. My kid's going as the Tiger King.
I think your kid and a lot of people are going as the Tiger King.
He found the shirt that matches the Tiger mm-hmm. King. He got a fake looking holster. Didn't have a gun in it, just to be clear. A fake looking holster to hang on one side of him. Mm-hmm. The only thing he didn't have was the jewelry that the guy's got hanging all over his face.
He should get a fake
places.
Eyebrow ring.
Yeah, he's going to have to get a fake
those.
Eyebrow ring.
I mean, they sell them with the costumes. If he just does a little search on Amazon, I've
couple gold chains. Those. So he's ready to go.
I want to see pictures.
Okay, I'll be sure and do that. Hopefully if you got big plans for this weekend, good for you. Glad to hear that. I'm going to go see Sarah Huckabee Sanders tomorrow morning.
Great.
Out in St. Charles County at 10. She's going to be out there at Arrowhead Building Supply. There's more information on the website, but they want you to go to Governor Parsons' website, mikeparson.com, and register if you're planning to attend that so they know how many people are going to be there. That's it. Let's get to Annie Fry.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Back up, you creep.
So beat the drum with me.
Get away from me.
Annie Fry, good morning to you, and I certainly don't want to draw any additional attention to you from Governor Pritzker, but can you tell me what the Halloween trick-or-treating plans are for the Fry children?
you know, we have not even really discussed that yet. Okay. I guess we're probably running out of time. But I kind of had the mindset that trick-or-treating for us was going to be me looking at the last minute at the weather and deciding if it was something we want to do, which is kind of like a dream of mine to be able to do that. Now I have an excuse. I told my husband the other day, Wednesday evening, my kids were like, oh, by the way, we have dress-up day at school tomorrow. And I'm like, gosh, dress-up day at school tomorrow. So we're walking through Target. And I said to my husband, I go, we should tell each kid they can have $20. They can go pick something out of the toy aisle and we'll buy them a bag of candy. But my husband's the better of us, and he's like, no, we should get them stuff to dress up. So we did. So I think there's a Pikachu and maybe an Anna and an Elsa in there. And I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. We'll see.
I love it. I think mine's going dressed as an M&M. She and three of her friends are four.
Oh, yeah.
Going to hit the neighborhood.
Nice.
Trick-or-treat's going to happen. It's going to happen in most places. It's going to be safe. This is silly season.
It may look
season.
A little different, but it's going to be something for those that want to participate.
Yeah, as long as they don't dress up like a basketball player in Illinois, they'll be okay, right?
I don't know. If you're looking to play basketball right now in the state of Illinois, the IHSA is kind of taking the side of the people as opposed to the governor. So it's been kind of refreshing to see that. Although I'm sure that is going to continue to develop as each day passes. Cause, mm-hmm. you know, you don't defy Lord Pritzker and get away with it in the state, it seems like.
Yeah, Lord Pritzker. I've got an article here that says Lord Pritzker announced high school winter sports are going to be moved to spring. And it sounds to me like he's using his authority to overrule the basketball association. So all these kids that thought they were going to get to play basketball next month have found out that they might still get to play in the spring if Governor JB smiles on them then.
Yeah, I mean, that might be more recent than the last I heard yesterday, which was that the IHSA was saying, no, I think we're going to go ahead with this and leave it up to the school district. So mm-hmm. if that's changed since yesterday and I'm not up to speed on that, then that doesn't surprise me.
I don't think so. It's just that I think what I read, the governor is going to basically go after the school districts that defy.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. He'll be at your doorstep, like, with a trick-or-treat mask. You won't know it's him until he pulls it off, and he's like, that's it. So, yeah, it's if you have the opportunity to vote for a Republican governor on Tuesday, you better relish the opportunity to keep your freedom and vote for one, because in the state of Illinois, we don't have that opportunity until 2022. So,
yeah,
go Governor Parson. We'll watch from over here with longing eyes.
You know, Annie, I've got lots of questions as I've talked to people about my voter's guide, and I've directed them to you for the keys to voting on the east side here for this election. Can you hit some of the highlights of what you've got in that Illinois voter guide on your Facebook page?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, some of them are obvious. We do have the opportunity to dump Dick Durbin. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Mark Curran is running to replace Dick Durbin, and Mark Curran is a former sheriff, and a good candidate for that. And you know, Dick, that's a tall order, but boy, that would be fun. That would really make my year. The biggest thing I think a lot of people are wondering about is the constitutional amendment that's going to be on everybody's ballot in the state of Illinois, and that's what Governor Pritzker has donated about $60 million of his own dollars to trying to get people to vote yes on that constitutional amendment, which is for the fair tax. I'm urging a strong no vote on the progressive tax constitutional amendment. And here's why. This is pretty simple. And they've done a really good job of packaging this up with the prettiest bows, but what's inside the package still stinks. And changing the state of Illinois from a flat tax, which is what we currently are, that means that everybody pays the same percentage. That doesn't mean you pay the same amount of taxes. If you're a low income earner compared to a high income earner, if everybody pays 5%, obviously the high income earner is going to pay a lot more dollars in taxes than somebody who's a low income earner. But when you consider the fact that what Governor Pritzker is highly, highly invested in making happen is changing it to a progressive income tax state, which is where instead of one tax bracket that everybody participates in the same equally at the same percentage of your income, he wants to create six income tax brackets. And here's the really, really scary thing right now in the state of Illinois. You know, this is one of the things that a lot of people pushing a yes vote will say to you. They're like, yeah, they can raise your taxes right now. There's no problem right now raising taxes in the state of Illinois. That doesn't change with this constitutional amendment. Well, actually, if you're going to raise taxes on the rich and you want to tax them 10% or something ridiculous like that, you're going to have to raise that on everybody. And that is a massive protection to the taxpayer. And, you know, let's get to the bottom line here. If you're an Illinois taxpayer, you're not really thrilled with the drunken sailor spending that's going on from Springfield to begin with. Do you want to trust the people in Springfield to handle more of your hard-earned tax dollars to fix a problem that they don't even recognize is actually the issue? So if you go to a progressive income tax state, they will have 6 tax brackets. And what they say is that 97% will pay the same or less in taxes. But here's the tricky part, folks. You're not voting on the tax brackets. Those tax brackets will go into effect January 1st if they don't do anything. But all that this legislature needs to do with a very simple majority, just 51%, just one vote over half, that's all they're going to need, and they can change those tax brackets to be whatever they want. And if you're looking right now at the Illinois legislature, there is a supermajority of Democrats in the House, supermajority of Democrats in the legislature, which means a lot of Mike Madigan-placed Democrats down south, like Monica Bristow and Katie Stewart, they can vote, oh, no, we wouldn't want that, because Madigan's going to tell them, you can go ahead and vote no on this because we don't need your yes vote on this. We have so many Democrats. We're just going to tell the Southern Democrats to vote no against this, and we'll still get what we want. If you want to vote against Mike Madigan every chance you get, you got to vote a big heck no on that constitutional amendment. And then furthermore, you've got to look at those Illinois state House representatives. There's a lot of them right across the river. Very positive candidates, and Lisa Champoli, who's challenging Democrat Madigan-placed Katie Stewart, and Amy Ellick, who's challenging Democrat-placed Monica Bristow. Also, a man named David Fries is running against Nathan Freets, who's who has been placed there by Governor Pritzker because the previous House representative there was put into the Pritzker administration.
Okay.
There's at least 4 opportunities right across the river to turn blue seats in the state house red. And if we get 4 seats, we are out of the superminority, and that's where need to be.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. And of course, there are also some county board offices, some local propositions. All that is spelled out in Annie's voter guide there, right up on her Facebook page. And you can I love how you put that together there, all on one page. Mine is like 6 pages long. But regardless,
with really good explanations. I enjoyed reading through it.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Of course, we got a couple of big amendments here, 1 and 3, and I've been trying to educate people on those so that they make the right decision and they know what's at stake. I don't know how they do it in Illinois, but over here, the judges always rewrite. Some judge rewrites the description of the issue, and it's about as clear as mud by the time it's done.
Yeah. It doesn't seem as though it's very voter-centric. Certainly, the constitutional amendment, the progressive tax, the fair tax, those are all the same thing on the ballot, and those are all what I'm urging a no vote on. But when you read through what it's talking about, it's confusing as can be, and you just got to know that constitutional amendment is a no, and it's the best, safest way to protect the Illinois taxpayer from more of the same of what we've seen so far.
Yeah, that's true. Annie, how you feeling about this presidential election? I feel confident that Donald Trump is going to get reelected. I feel that he is. I feel that he's going to win Florida. I think he's going to win Pennsylvania. He's going to Minnesota today. And, you know, I discussed this earlier, long before you guys were born in 1984. Mondale was the only carried one state. And that was his home state of Minnesota. It hasn't gone to a Republican since then.
Yeah, I was born for that.
I was
about 6 months old.
Okay.
I'm a Reagan baby, proudly a Reagan baby. I like to say I've lived in 2 terms of Ronald Reagan's presidency. Only the first one was not for very long.
Yeah.
I can't say that I'm confident, but if you know me as a person, you know that wouldn't really be my style or for something like this. I say my head says this is going to obviously go Trump, and my heart says I think Joe Biden can pull it off, because I'm just prepping myself, because I don't want to be crushed. And I think that a lot of Americans are looking at this going, how is this, you know, just with what you've seen and some of the people who've been boldly stepping up and supporting Donald Trump that are not the regulars, not the ones that are folks that you would normally think would step up and support a Republican president at this time. You know, a reelection of a sitting president when you have like 96% support from your party, it's like unheard of that you would have that much base support and not gain reelection. And, you know, I look back to 2012 and Mitt Romney was a much better candidate for the Republican Party than Joe Biden is right now for the Democrat Party. And you kind of saw how, you know, Mitt Romney did really good in the first debate, kind of fell from there. And I remember having confidence going in, like, this is going to be great. We're going to turn a corner here. And when Barack Obama got reelected, especially compared to 2008, it was not with the fanfare and the excitement that existed in his first election. And honestly, that's kind of the vibe that I feel like we're going to have going into this. It's, you know, the referendum on the president. Is he gonna walk into this election and you know, have it be the red wave that he's saying? I don't think that it is. And I got to be honest, I don't have a lot of confidence in what the election process is this year, because it's new, not necessarily because there's going to be, you know, I'm not going to dive into any conspiracy theories about all the terrible things that could happen, but this is 2020, this is COVID, and we're doing things differently. And it's important that we modify the way we collect votes, in my opinion, so that everybody can vote. And if people feel uncomfortable being out and about in this day and age, they should still have the right to vote. But are we going to be able to handle this? I think the jury's out on that. I think he should win. I wish I could give your listeners, and I wish I could give my listeners from noon to three, some level of strong confidence, but I think a lot can happen. But I do think that our country can withstand 4 years of something that doesn't go our way if we care about it enough, and if we're willing to fight for what we need and get our priorities straight.
Yeah, well, so, I loved what Mark Lotter had to say on your show yesterday. I got to listen to a little bit of that, and you know, I mean, Mark Lotter is paid as a campaign spokesperson for the Trump campaign, and so you have to hedge it a little bit with the fact that he's not going to say anything other than that. But he spoke with a great deal of confidence about where they are and where they're going and what the strategy is to bring this thing home. And I mean, that gave me an additional layer of confidence after listening to him.
Yeah, I need to schedule like a daily call with him.
Yeah,
just for my personal sake, just for my mental health for the next few days, and be like, say that again.
Yeah,
just say it one more time. He said their numbers that they're counting are very good, and he spoke with great confidence. You could hear the he's supposed to say the words, but he was backing it up with the confidence he had about what he was saying. And he said in 2016 we were right. Our numbers were right. Everybody else was shocked, but we knew what was going to happen, and it happened. And he said, it's happening again. You can check that out on the Andy Fry Show podcast. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to vote. You're going to vote, and your listeners need to take a friend to vote, and we need to do our part. So at the end, we can say we left it all on the field.
Take a friend to the polls. All right, Annie, thank you. We'll be listening today. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys. Yep, happy Friday.
Yep, you too. Annie Fry there, noon to three today. Hey, coming up, one of the key races here in St. Louis County, Senator Andrew Koenig from District 15. We're going to get him on the radio and hear why he's running and why he's so passionate about it when we come back.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I always play drums at the beginning of that song, even though I don't play drums.
Sure.
I don't know if I'm hitting the right drum or not
sure
when I do it.
Your ear drums were just
but
fine.
But it sounds good.
They're on point.
In my head.
Looks great.
Which is...
That's the coolest air drumming I've ever seen.
Really, that's all that's important is that it looks good in my head. That's my take on it. Hey, wanted to mention again, you heard me talking about it with Annie. My voter's guide is up online. Facebook there, the Mark Cox Show on Facebook. It's pinned to the top of the page. It's easy for you to take a look at there. There are links on there, URL links to your local Board of Elections, where if you go in, you can look at just sample ballot of what you're going to face when you get in the voting booth. The last thing you ever want to do in any election is to try to wait till you get there to read the official language on a ballot issue, like an amendment or something like that. You need to think these things out in advance, and I'm helping you to do that. I'm here for you. You can also go to 971talk.com/Cox and download the voter's guide and all that stuff on there, all the important big races. I've told you how I'm going to vote and for the most part why, and then you can make your own best decision by choosing to agree with me or not. Your choice. By the way, the big state Senate race that you'll see me point out is Senator Andrew Koenig in District 15, and we've got him on the phone this morning. Senator, how are you, sir?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm glad to get you on here. You know, I know that you've been out working hard. I mean, I see every weekend I see you got people out canvassing, going door to door. The ground game is very important. How are things going?
We have an extremely strong ground game. We're knocking on thousands of doors. We probably knocked on something north of 60,000 doors just since June. So we have a goal of trying to get 5,000 doors this weekend. So anybody that wants to come out and help, we're going to be at the GOP office at 9 a.m. To start door knocking Saturday morning. It's right by JCPenney's in Grabois Bluffs. Anybody that wants to come help would certainly take it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just thinking about that you're hoping to reach 10,000 people this weekend. I was talking to the folks from the RNC and other people connected to the national campaign for President Trump. They brag all the time about how great their ground game is all across the country. There's really nothing that replaces that in-person knock at the door when it comes to campaigning, is there?
It's definitely very important. I think it helps show momentum, actually talking to voters so we know what voters actually want. You know, law and order is something that's extremely important. I never thought that law and order would be an issue or supporting our police should be a political issue. I kind of thought as Americans, we thought burning down buildings was a bad thing. But we have won. The Democrats have completely lost their minds and they are backing this lawlessness that we have seen across the country. And, you know, my opponent is one of those. She said on the House floor that she wanted to let people that out of jail that were in prison without the possibility of parole because of the coronavirus. The Democrats want to shut this country down. They want to take our freedoms away. And so my race is extremely important. I'm running against a far-left liberal Democrat.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you pointed that out. I mean, she is extreme. She's extreme on a lot of these issues. And because conservatives consistently get called out if they happen to retweet something that somebody doesn't like or thinks is controversial, then it's fair for us to point that out about the left, too. Deb Lavender, correct me if I'm wrong, retweeted a tweet comparing people are soldiers who fought in World War II to Antifa.
That's true. She absolutely did. Any conservative or, Republican that would retweet something similar, something even close to that, they would demand that they get canceled. They would demand that they resign from office. But the Democrats have a double standard. And assuming I win next week, on Thursday, we have a special session. I'm going to be going to Jeff City. I'll start writing a bill restricting Sam Page's power.
Oh, good, good. Because, I've talked to the governor about that a lot. And obviously, I'm supporting Governor Parson in his reelection bid. But every time I've had him on here, I'm like, isn't there anything more we can do to rein in the power of Dr. Sam Page, who, when he was on council, was a big Steve Stinger critic. He was critical of the fact that Stinger never showed up and that he had too much autonomy. And then he became county executive, and now he's got complete autonomy over this COVID response. And he sometimes either doesn't show up or walks out of council meetings.
Yeah, no one person should have that kind of power over our lives to be able to shut our businesses down. I mean, people are hurting out there. Restaurants are going out of business. People have put their entire life savings into their small business, and government is taking it away. It's not right.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And, you know, this is crunch time. We've got to get a good turnout in St. Louis County and get these candidates on there. County Council, Congressional District 2, that's going to be a key as well. And I know Ann Wagner's been out there working hard, just like you have in District 15.
Yeah, so my race could come down to literally 100 votes. So it's so important that every single one of us Republicans gets out there and votes. And if you're able to come help door knock on Saturday, go to the GOP office in Gravois Bluffs at 9 a.m. We're getting started.
Yeah, and you can people can also go to your website there at electandrewkoenig.com. They want to find out more about you or donate, because I've seen your TV commercials. So you've gotten some commercials on here recently. I think that's great.
Absolutely. electandrewkoenig.com. If you want to make a last-minute donation, we'll take it and we'll use it. So.
Yeah, anytime, Senator, you can get your better half, Brooke, on there, that's a good thing, right?
Oh, yeah. My wife is absolutely amazing. I would not be able to do this without her.
Yeah, she's great. I've enjoyed meeting her on a couple of occasions. You got a great family.
Senator Andrew Koenig, listen, good luck next week and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Great to get you on here. Missouri Senator Andrew Koenig from District 15 here, that encompasses a big chunk of St. Louis County. Get out there, vote for him. Drag your neighbors to the polls. Like he said, the difference in this vote could come down. It could come down to 100 votes. Think about that. Think about that. Remember when Rick Stream lost the county executive race a few years ago to Stinger, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to remember who he ran. I think it was Stinger, wasn't it? When he lost that race, it came down to 2 votes in every precinct.
Ugh.
If 2 votes, I believe that's what he told me, if 2 votes had changed in every precinct, he would have been the St. Louis County executive. So every vote counts.
Yeah, and then you guys wouldn't have Sam Page right now.
Yeah, we might not have Dr. Sam Page.
Boy.
Think
Thanks
of how things
reminder.
Would have changed.
Yeah, that
right?
crap
mm-hmm.
rolls downhill.
Well, part of the reason for that, to put on my analyst hat here for a minute, is that Rick Stream, after the whole Ferguson thing happened, one of the people that spent the most time in Ferguson and talking to community leaders in North County and all that was Rick Stream. He was visible. He was out there. The community leaders saw him. He engendered a lot of support and goodwill because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Berry's been up there doing the same thing. So don't be surprised if we don't have another very close county executive race. And again, every vote's going to count. So you're out there voting for Paul and Ann and Andrew and doing everything we can to try to get them back in office in this election. It's going to be huge, huge. Go like us on Facebook, by the way. You can follow the show. We're live there every morning. You can find the voter's guide pinned up there. Can you tell it's a Friday?
Yep.
We're having fun. Somebody pointed out earlier it's going to be a blue moon this weekend, and I'm going to have a couple. So we'll be
having
a good time.
Are you sure you haven't had one already?
Just ask that.
We'll be back in just a minute. So I just have to point this out because I've realized that I've got a stack of papers here that I haven't gotten through yet, and I want to make sure I don't forget to mention this today. Did you know what got confirmed yesterday? Did you see this? The Department of Justice officials confirmed that the FBI has an open criminal investigation into Hunter Biden and associates focused on money laundering. The question in Congress right now is, should Hunter Biden be investigated for not registering as a foreign agent who was working with the chief spy in China and trying to negotiate the purchase of a portion, like 14 or 15% of the Russia state gas plant industry. I mean, that's huge. And I don't know how you look into that and not think that Joe Biden isn't part of that somehow. He was the big guy. He was the chairman. There's lots coming out. You know, Tucker Carlson had this more on this last night and specifically addressed Hunter Biden, who he says he knows personally. He said, I know Hunter Biden. He used to live down the street from me. He said, ultimately, as we all are, he's a flawed human being, maybe more flaws than most because of some of his addiction problems and some of his stupidity, like the stuff he kept on his computer that people have found out about. At the end of the day, this isn't about Hunter Biden, but it's about whether or not Joe Biden lied to the American people about being aware of his son's activities when he was vice president and since. And you know what? Since this story broke, Joe Biden's refused to answer any questions about it. And yesterday, a local journalist finally got somebody from the Biden campaign on and asked the question. Now, he asked it in a very, I don't know, offhanded way. Oh, by the way, about this controversy with Hunter Biden and this laptop. And the guy said, we're not talking about that. We just refuse to give any credibility to that. And we want to talk about what Joe Biden's going to do when he's elected president. Okay, well, thank you. Are you kidding me? Where the hell is Jim Acosta? Where are the people that should be raising hell and in the face of Biden's press people and Biden's surrogates and the people that are all over the country demanding an answer? Joe, you only get one more chance. Did you know what your son was doing with China and the Ukraine and Russia? It's very simple. Because Tony Bobulinski says you did know. Do you know Tony Bobulinski? Did you ever meet with Tony Bobulinski? Did you have any idea your son and your brother were making tens of millions of dollars from the Chinese Communist government? These are all fair questions. None of them are being asked. None of them. And if not for some fair-minded reporters at Fox and maybe Politico and the New York Post, it's a non-story to the mainstream media. Who are these people? Folks, your country's being stolen from you, right from under your nose. 314-241-9797. Interesting to find out what J.J. Carafano thinks about the whole thing. I'm looking forward to that. And Mike Emanuel from Fox News at 820.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.